Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We are so thankful that you have joined us. And as always, we just want to give you some food for thought at the beginning of the show. I'm here with Ms. Barbara Moore, Diana Cruz. And City on a Hill has been on really for a long time, but it's been on and off, especially lately, as schedules are just really so busy for us. But this is something that we do out of a passion, a love for God and country, and we really want to share a lot of information that, unfortunately, the news media is not sharing. So, Ms. Barb, I'm going to turn it over to you. We've got a special guest coming on, but until then, would you mind sharing with us some nugget thoughts?
Well, you know, Diana, I was thinking with our special guest, Judge Roy Moore, coming on today with us, what an honor and what a privilege it is to have him. And I was just thinking about throughout history, God has raised up standards, you know, for us throughout our history. And he hasn't left us without that. You know, he has provided that in Judge Roy Moore. And I remember back when I first became aware of what Judge Moore was doing in his Etowah County courtroom with his Ten Commandments that he had carved, I believe, when he was in Vietnam or around that time, and displayed them in his courthouse, in his courtroom, and of course, opening with prayer, as should be done. And he was such a hero to me and to so many that he had the courage to stand up.
Oh, yes.
To
hold on for
you. And, yes. And what an incredible example he has been to all of us. And we in Alabama have responded to that, and we have supported him, and we have voted for him, and we have loved him for being the man of God that he is. He has a love of the truth. And the Bible says if we don't have a love of the truth, we're going to be easily deceived. But if we have that love of the truth, Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. And so we're to have that love of the truth. And Judge Moore exemplifies that. More than anyone, I think, alive on the earth
Ms.
today.
Barbara, I think Judge Moore has joined us. Hi, Judge Moore. How are you?
Hey, Diana.
Yes, sir. And Ms. Barbara Moore is on with us, Judge Moore.
I know Barbara Moore. We're not related, but she is a good Moore.
She's awesome. Well, we're going to start off the show, Judge Moore, let Ms. Barbara introduce you. Ms. Barbara, you want to go ahead with you've pretty much done a little introduction, but you want to go ahead and say a few more things?
I have. I don't know whether Judge Moore heard the introduction, but it was filled with appreciation and admiration for you, Judge. And I talked about how God has not left us without a standard. He raises up throughout history. He has raised up standards and raised up men, good people, to be an example to others with courage and conviction and commitment and dedication. And you are that man for our time, Judge Moore. And what a privilege it is to know you, to be able to hear you and to listen to your wisdom. And I also talked about that you are a lover of truth. And the Bible says if we don't love the truth, we'll be easily deceived. Even the very elect will be deceived. So you're an example to us also to be a lover of truth and then the conviction to stand for that truth. And we just love you, Judge. The people of Alabama have supported you, voted for you, and the people of Alabama love you.
Well, thank you, Barbara. You know, that's one thing I've decided in this campaign. Of course, I've always maintained the truth, But I think there's a lot of things that people aren't talking about in our society today that politicians don't think it's appropriate. They don't think it's appropriate to talk about God. And if you don't talk about God, you don't talk about your rights. You don't talk about jurisdictional things that families have control of, like education. They don't want to talk about anything but what is politically correct. They don't want to talk about the gas tax. And about a party that supposedly stands for lower taxes, and as soon as they get elected, they go in and they up your taxes and talk about toll roads and going to gambling. So, I mean, we got to get back to where the principles matter. And that's what Washington said about the Constitution, that we've got to go back to the Constitution. And the principle upon which this country is founded.
What you said is so true. And people talk about issues today, but I've noticed that they never go back to the foundation for those issues. They never go back. They might talk about principles, but they don't talk about the foundation for the principles, which is God and the Bible.
Well, that's true, and I think then that's what we've got to do. So many people have lost the fact, for example, that religious liberty isn't something the Constitution gives you. It's something that the Constitution recognized was given by God, and that's why we have it. And it wasn't any God. It was a particular God. But you've got a lot of people in our society today that want to change our country. They want to go to socialism. They want to go away from – they want to first say we're so intelligent, we don't need God anymore. And we've got to go back that if we ever forget where our principles come from, we're going to lose them, and we're losing them. For example, we've got these red flag laws that come up, and Congress says, we've got to do something. Well, I'll tell you what we got to do. The same people that want to push red flag laws, which are against the 5th and 14th Amendment and the 4th Amendment, to the Constitution, we've got to go back and recognize that the real problem is the heart of man. And you will not stop killings, and you will not stop abortions and things that are going on in society unless you recognize there's a moral standard, and that moral standard was set by God. Our founding fathers recognized that. I think it was Washington said, toward the preservation of your government, the permanency of your present happy state is requisite not only that you steadily discount its irregular opposition to its acknowledged authority, but you resist with care the spirit of innovation upon its principles, however spacious the pretext. In other words, Washington was saying, if you want good government, the first thing you got to do is recognize the authority of the Constitution, because that's what all the 50 states have recognized, and recognize the principles, not just the Constitution, but the principles. And the principles were founded in the Declaration of Independence, which is the organic law of our country. And I say that because in the United States Code, which is a listing of the laws of the country, the first thing it says is organic laws, and one of them is the Declaration of Independence. And if you recognize that, you recognize what government's there for. I sincerely wonder what we're doing in our government today. All they want to talk about is impeachment of the president. They want to talk about red flag laws. They want to talk about everything. They're not talking about stopping the illegal aliens coming through the border. Now, I mean, I know that President Trump's made that a priority, but it's a simple thing. You don't let people just come in without some law. Now, we have a law. When we neglect that law, then we have a problem. So,
Judge Moore, to start off also, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you a question, which you've already mentioned a little bit about the education system. And very basic thing that I think of as taught by Ms. Barbara is the Pilgrims came here for their children. And now, parents' rights over what's being taught children has been changed. With the Common Core Initiative, it's changed the schools, it's removed stories of our great history. We've got, you know, kids that are anti-patriotism now, and literature has taught, you know, if they've taught confusing math, among other things, that we have students that can't even give change in McDonald's. That's so basic that everybody gets it. Something is wrong. And now, as you were saying about socialism, there's now a teaching towards socialism. So we were talking, me and Ms. Barbara, what can we do? And one of the things that we were wanting to ask you is, how about an executive order for the president to get rid of all this trash?
Well, executive orders apply only to the executive branch. The first thing, it's not like the president can make laws. An executive order would have nothing to do with the states as far as what they can do and cannot do. It's not the executive branch. I think the first thing we got to do, Barbara and Diana, is recognize that the people we elect are telling us one thing and they're doing something else. And let me give you an example of that. Recently, somebody wanted to run for this Senate, and all of a sudden they were going to talk about revoking the education, what do you call it, the laws on Common Core. And as soon as they decided not to run, now why would they do that? Why would they say we're going to revoke Common Core when they stood for it in the first place? Because they were doing in the first place what special interests wanted them to do. And then when they decided to run, they decided to take up the mantle of getting rid of Common Core. And then when they decided not to run, they went back and dropped the whole subject. In other words, they didn't really care about what the people want, or they would have done something about it. Common Core is so bad because it teaches what the federal government wants to teach children. It doesn't even allow the state to take a chance unless they voted in, which they did, and did what the people didn't want to do, in my opinion. Common Core education belongs to the parent. It always has, and it always will be. If they ever stop homeschooling altogether, we're in trouble. But what they have done is start teaching our children bad things in the public education system. And that's so obvious. They're teaching that a man can be a woman if he wants to, or a woman can be a man if he wants to. And nobody talks about that in politics anymore. They don't want to talk about transgender, fluid transgenderism, and all this stuff that's swallowing us for our country. They want to start teaching it in our schools. They had, if you remember, these drag queens going around the country speaking at public libraries. Now, in Iowa, I got a picture of it. It was terrible. Why parents would even take their children to let a drag queen teach them is unbelievable. But, you know, it happened here in Alabama, too, in Huntsville, and in Mobile, and in other places. We've got to stop this. You know, this pre-K, well, we had, you know, children starting at the sixth grade or at the first grade when they're about 6 years old for years and years. It seemed to be working because they spent the first 6 years under their parents' tutelage. Then they started pre-K. And what has happened in pre-K? It's been enlarged every time a governor has taken office in this state. We spend more and more money to pre-K and then wonder why we have to raise taxes and wonder why our kids are growing up without the knowledge of God. And now we've gone to, what is it called, Barbara? Before pre-K, they have dropped it down to.
I call it baby school. I don't know what they call it, but right here in Dothan, they've got them going down to infancy in public education.
And
I don't know what
it's called.
It's called
out
crazy
money for
to me.
Yeah. It's called pre-K now, but they're going down to different ages, and when they start adopting it as law, first thing you know, we're going to be sending our kids to pre-K, pre-kindergarten.
Yeah.
It was kindergarten.
Right.
That's pre-K. And
right now it's voluntary.
I just think
but what starts off voluntary becomes mandatory at some point.
That's exactly right. And what starts out voluntary, these politicians get in office and pretend that it's going to be voluntary forever, but it doesn't work
yeah.
that way. And they start allocating
yeah.
money, and then they start cutting out church schools, which were teaching children without the money. And so I think it's a bad situation. I think it's driven by people that will follow the lead of other politicians and special interests. Special interest is corrupted so much. And
yeah.
again, that goes back to the fact that people serve in government not to uphold the principles and stand for what the people want, but they do it because they want to please the special interest. And
Judge Moore, just want to speak a little bit about the forthcoming March 2020 vote on a constitutional amendment that's going to change our state elected Board of Education to appointed boards. And again, that's kind of, I think, one of the things that you're warning us about. You know, we've got these elected officials that told us, oh, we're going to get rid of Common Core. And then when you look at the details of this constitutional amendment, it's going to cement it, not get rid of it. It's going to be replaced elected to appointed board. What do you think?
I think politicians hide behind appointments. They appoint somebody and then say, oh, well, they instituted, not me. You see, and we've got to do what the board, they hide behind stuff like that. Instead of coming out and saying, well, that's what we wanted in the first place. I think that appointed boards are not good, and I think that elections are good if you're going to have a board, because people know that they're answerable to people. But right now I think politicians want to hide behind somebody that's not elected so that they can cast it off and said they wouldn't have done it, but, you know, they got to follow the board.
I wrote
that
down.
You wanted to ask him about? Okay.
I wrote that down. Politicians hide behind appointments. That pretty much sums it up, you know?
Well,
and
it's that way in the nation. I mean, how many laws are made by Congress and how many are made by administrative agencies that have been appointed? And then we have to follow the administrative agencies because the judges said, well, that's law, and they receive appointment, but it's not voted for Congress. And I just think that politicians want to keep their job, keep their power, keep their money, and follow. And that's a big reason, Barbara and Diana, that Washington doesn't want me up there. I submit people should want somebody that Washington doesn't want up there, because Washington is the problem in national politics. The state house is the problem in state politics. But they don't want somebody that will tell the truth about the Constitution, about God, about what the people feel. They want somebody that will follow along with the power structure so that they can keep their jobs and keep their positions. There's so many things in government that can't be corrected. They're out of line with what the forefathers envisioned. It's pretty bad. Sad.
And Judge Moore, about the impeachment, you know, that is so out of line when we think about it. It's all based on a lie. And then after the lie has been found to be a lie, well, you go on to another lie. What are your thoughts on this now, you know, the Russian collusion and now the Ukrainian whistleblower, whatever?
Let's talk about Russian collusion just a minute. You know that they've got a Senate Select Intelligence Committee in Congress. Now, that sounds high and that sounds important. It sounds like that couldn't be bad because, they have a person up there, Jonathan Morgan, that ran New Knowledge. And New Knowledge was a part of their business. And they, conspired with New Knowledge about this Russian collusion. Then New Knowledge started against me and started the Russian disinformation tactics in 2017 in September. And that came out in December of 2018, if you'll recall. And they all admitted that what they did was wrong to interfere with the Alabama election for the United States Senate. And it was Jonathan Morgan and New Knowledge. Well, he has connection with the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. And now the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence is starting to talk about it again. In fact, if people want to go to an article that just came out, I think it was today, from USA, 9 October, it said, here they go again. Senate reheats Russian meddling claims using assertions as evidence. And it was by USA Today. And let me just tell you what they said. They started talking about New Knowledge and Jonathan Morgan. And they said this. They said, the best part, however, has to be the reliance on New Knowledge, presented as a cybersecurity company dedicated to protecting the public sphere from disinformation tactics. Now, that's supposedly what New Knowledge is. In reality, New Knowledge was exposed by the New York Times as the outfit that actually ran bots and disinformation operations during the 2017 Alabama special election for the United States Senate, targeting Republican candidate Roy Moore on behalf of Democrats while blaming Russia. And then it said the only Russian bots to meddle in U.S. elections belong to Democrat-linked experts. And what they're talking about is these social media groups got together in Washington in September and ran a disinformation tactics to fool the people of Alabama into voting or not voting for Roy Moore, myself. And they admitted it. They admitted taking $750,000, and I submit much more, from Reid Hoffman, a Microsoft billionaire, who apologized. And here's the same Senate Select Committee starting that information again and using New Knowledge. Well, how much hypocrisy do you need from Washington? It's full of it. That's why they don't want me up there.
And that is why you're needed, Judge Moore. We need you to hear from you the truth, because unfortunately, everybody else seems to be afraid of the truth. Everybody else is, I shouldn't say everybody, most of our legislators in Congress are so afraid of telling the truth and going by the truth, and we need you to hold up that standard. And I think our president could use that. Our president could use men with backbone that can do that for us. We are so thirsty for it, and as parents and grandparents, we are floundering because we are seeing the effects on the children. They actually have the children wanting socialism. And Ms. Barbara, we did have a third question. Did you want to go ahead and go into that?
Well, I don't know if we have time to do that, Diane. Are you talking about the CNN 10 resolution?
Well, whatever you wanted to ask, you go ahead.
Well, I tell you what I'd like to do, Judge Moore, I'd like to tell you what we're doing here in Dothan for just a minute. We've been getting the national motto posters into our public schools, both our Houston County schools and Dothan City schools, and the In
That's
God
right.
We Trust posters. And we give them a copy of the law. We give them a brief history of our national motto for the teachers. And Judge, we have distributed over 800 of them in the past 6 months, and we're getting the recognition of God before the eyes of the children. One of the schools that has 50 elementary classrooms laminated the 50 posters, and they're displayed in every classroom, and so we're real excited about that. And I know that you would love to hear about that. So I wanted to tell you about that.
Yes. I think that's great. The best thing that I've heard. Now, if I were running for governor, if I was a governor, and I'm not running for governor, I'm saying I think the governor should come back and mandate it in all schools. Why? Because it's a national motto. Why? Because
it
recognized the God on which the
Constitutional
Declaration
mandated.
Was based.
Yes.
And what's
yes.
wrong with acknowledging God? And that's the problem in our society. And I told you from the beginning, my objective in running for the United States Senate this time is like it was before, to tell the truth. And I am going to tell the truth. And They may not like it in Washington, and they may come against me again, but they're not going to fool the people again. I think the people have been fooled enough, and I think that they will stand up. So,
well, Judge Moore,
I pray so.
We are, yes. And I think Ms. Barbara was trying to say that there was a law passed. I think Representative Standridge passed a bill, and but they have to get permission, right, Ms. Barbara, through the school system.
It's not mandated. It's voluntary. And KIV did sign it, you know, but it is not mandatory. However, there are states where it is mandatory, like Tennessee and some other places as well. I think South Dakota even. But there are about 15 states now where it's either voluntary or mandatory. And I just see this as a first step. Now, what we did was we formed a Faith and Freedom Committee within our Republican Party here in Houston County, and the function of which is to promote and protect religious liberty in our community and beyond. And, of course, in addition to the recognition of God, it instills patriotism as well. By the way, the teachers and the principals have really embraced this. We've had people cry. We've had people just thank us profusely for bringing them, and there's been a real warm response to this, Judge, and that's been very encouraging to us.
Well, Barbara, I think it's a great thing, and I think that they should put it up. Let me just tell you this. I think it should be mandatory, and I'll tell you why it should be mandatory. Because it recognizes the source of religious liberty. It should be mandatory because without the recognition of God, the First Amendment means nothing with regard to religious liberty. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting free exercise thereof is the first part of the First Amendment. And if you don't recognize God, you don't have religious liberty. So it's not a violation of the First Amendment. It's not a violation of anybody's religious liberty. Because God is the one that gives us the right to recognize him, not government. And government can't prohibit the recognition of God. That's why we've got the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law. But what's been confused here is the definition of religion. People think religion means anything they want it to mean. It means Islam, or it means Buddhism. Well, yes, in one sense it does, but in our constitutional sense, it is the recognition of God, because religion was defined by all our founding fathers, by Jefferson, by Madison, by Virginia Bill of Rights, as the duties we owe to the Creator and the manner of discharging those duties. And that was recognized by the Supreme Court of the United States in U.S. versus Reynolds in 1878. It was the duty you owe to the Creator. So without that duty, I mean, we should make that mandatory. We should recognize in God we trust. It's a national motto. It's the law. So,
Judge Moore, we know we have to let you go, but we have appreciated this time with you. But one more thing that Ms. Barbara had mentioned, and Ms. Barbara, before he goes, would you like to mention about the CNN? Because that right there, you know, that's almost a mandate in every school in the nation that we're seeing, Judge Moore, that has happened. The enemy has come in.
I know.
For many years, our children all over the country, even in Alabama, have been indoctrinated by CNN 10. It's a 10-minute news segment that's shown in the public schools, probably in some private schools as well, and where CNN explains, quote-unquote, the news from their point of view to the children. And so this is 5 days a week, 9 months of the year. So anyway, we have written a resolution against it. We're asking KIV to use her authority as chairman of the school board and governor to issue a cease order to the schools to stop showing this. It's definitely had an effect on our elections and will continue to do so. and the 2020 yeah. election coming up, which is crucial. But anyway, we're hoping, Judge, that it gets to the national. We get it to the national Republican Party, and it goes national, and we get it stopped. And we think maybe this is the time with the exposure of fake news and all that they're doing, and this might be the time to act upon this. So we're hoping, and I just wanted you to be aware of it.
Well, I don't know why it ever started in the first place. Somebody was blind because CNN doesn't represent what the people of Alabama believe, and they're trying to alter
right.
the children to believe something people of Alabama don't stand for. They're liberal, they're very liberal, and I don't know why how it started, and I don't know why it isn't stopped. But it should be.
Yeah. Amen. We'll get you a copy of that resolution, too.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Judge Moore. God bless you, sir. We'll be praying for you.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Judge.
Ms. Barbara?
Yes.
Okay, that was awesome. That was just, we are so grateful for that interview with Judge Moore, and really, we had so much more to ask him, but what are your thoughts on what he said?
Well, it was just so good to hear all that truth expressed and explained. And it was breathtaking in the scope of it, what all he covered, Diana. And some of which I haven't digested yet, particularly the part that he talked about new knowledge with Jonathan Morgan and how all that happened, that disinformation operation that went forth, of course, against him. And now it's operating, of course, against President Trump. But, you know, we're just very privileged to be able to hear Judge Moore teach us.
We have so many more things that really we wanted to, ask him, but I think we learned a lot and about that new knowledge. And, you know, you think about that, I think there was a group called American Bridge, and I'm sure all these groups are kind of connected, intertwined, but American Bridge, you know, they are the ones that found the Kavanaugh stories. And so it's like there's think tanks like these that are really, I mean, they're of no good. They're out there to find everything about a person. But, Ms. Barbara, in this highly technological world, that is a danger. It used to be that there was such a thing as redemption, right? There is such
yes.
a thing as redemption. But
yes,
it's like people
is.
Have forgotten this is a nation, you know, based on the Word of God. And what does God's Word says? He says, you know, you are a new creation, right? If you be in Christ, you are a new creation. But all of a sudden, it's like men have forgotten that, and they're so busy and bent trying to find out what people did even when they were teenagers. And even though they have served a life of service for 30 years, they're going to come and find out what these people did as they were teens. And something we learned from Joan Lannis is your mind is not fully developed until age 25, your reasoning ability. So, yes, teenagers are going to do things that are crazy, right? Kavanaugh.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
But then to hold it up now as if the man needs to be crucified now after all the work, the great work
he's
done.
But he didn't even
right,
do
and
it.
He didn't
it
even
was made up. It was fake, phony. He didn't even exhibit poor judgment. It was made up,
Ms.
just
Barbara,
like they made it up against Judge Moore.
Isn't this kind of like, you know, I mean, me and you are believing people. We believe in the Bible and what the Word says. But it reminds me of the fact that our adversary, the enemy, he's the one that's accusing, right?
He's
and
the accuser
I think about,
of the brethren.
Right. And these people, that's what they are. I mean, they're finding everything they can so that they can accuse who they want to. And with today's technology, where Alexa and all these are Google devices are able to hear everything that you say and do, and they're, you know, putting it in some kind of a place where they can just pull it out anytime they need to, you know, kind of like the CIA, NSA, whatever, FBI, have access to all sorts of information. They're looking for metadata, which is, from what I understand, is words, tags, words that's been said, and then they'll pull information. Well, they can find dirt on anybody. And in this case, they can find, you know, they can even make up dirt, of course. But they are like the adversary. They're the accusers. And I think people with common sense has got to start thinking for themselves, because they, like other people, have gone through life and maybe have done things, you know, or maybe people that are your enemy just want to make up things. We really have to be careful and guard what we're believing, and that's why fake news like CNN is so dangerous.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. The Bible tells us to think about those things that are pure and honest and just and lovely and praiseworthy, of good report, that we're to focus our minds on those. And fake news does just the opposite. As you said, it accuses all manner of evil against people, but it's a constant stirring up of dirt that is, you know, they form it, I think, probably based on what they themselves do. That, you know, they accuse other people of what they themselves do, projecting guilt on others. And it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy for us personally as individuals. It's unhealthy for us as a nation to allow that constant barrage of false information and ugliness and the lowest, vile, base, stuff to be talked about and shown and so forth. So, it's just wrong, and it's very harmful.
And Ms. Barbara, I think it turns the tide. You know, we were thinking about how CNN has followed along manufactured things and followed up with manufactured lies. We see that with the Russian collusion. And you think about people, that good men that would want to run, but maybe they did not change their life until maybe 10 years ago. I mean, that good man now, it is so hard to think about running. And this is why we have so many, what you call, well, more or less evil men winning, right? It's because the evil men don't care. I mean, they're going to be protected with the propaganda and the lies and covered up. And we talk about, you know, men like Robert Menendez, who had been found really doing things to teens, but that was shoved aside. Yet he's up there, you know, holding his hand against the president, you know, charging this and that. And I think it is time for really, if we can think with really thoughtfulness about it, you know, the Bible is so true and the Bible is so good, because it does tell us that, you know, by his fruits you shall know them. And if you've been dealing with somebody in the public eye and they want to run, and you've known them and you've seen the works and the fruits that they have borne since they become a Christian, you know, say somebody became a Christian and wanted to run for something, you know, maybe they were they dealt with drugs, you know, for when they were teens and got out of that habit. I mean, you cannot crucify that man now that he wants to run for office, when he's proved himself to be really a man who's worthy, you know, a provider, a good provider, and a good citizen and member of his community, because of that past sin, because of the fact that the Bible tells us that we can be redeemed and we can be a new person.
But most of these people are not Bible believers, and they don't recognize redemption truly. They may intellectually recognize it or realize, you know, that it might exist, but they've never experienced it and they don't know it. The Bible says that before one experiences redemption, there's a veil over the eyes, there's a blindness, and they don't understand spiritual things. So they don't understand that a person can be totally transformed by God, by the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, in their minds, I mean, this is what they know. The devil is the devil. A snake is a snake. And a snake is going to do what a snake does, and the devil's going to do what the devil does, and all his demons. And we cannot expect him to act any other way. You know, we have to recognize there is evil. That's why in the Constitution, that's why there are three branches of government, because the founding fathers recognized that man is evil. And the heart is wicked, who can know it, says in Jeremiah, you know, that we're born with a sinful nature and a tendency to sin. And it's only when we allow God to transform us that changes. And even when that happens, we'll always be subject to temptation, to ambition, temptation for ambition, to accumulate power, to accumulate, go after wealth and corruption. There'll be that temptation. So the founding fathers created three branches of government with different functions, and then also with the ability to restrain the two branches, to restrain another branch. And so they restrain each other from evil. Evil. They recognized evil and made provision for it where it would not, where it could be restrained and where good could prevail. And they had great wisdom, but they recognized evil. And that's not something that's being done today. As Judge Moore said, you know, God is not being recognized. And because of that, you know, we're failing. We're failing in everything.
And Ms. Barbara, I think, you know, when we were talking to him about the need for him, and you were talking about God's standards, you know, holding up a standard, I think we've seen in this lifetime not too many men like Judge Moore who will stand on the Word of God. You know, and it doesn't matter about the rest of the world. He knows he has to stand on the Word of God. And so when it comes to doing something that we've had such a hard time getting rid of, the Common Core, you know, State Standards Initiative, now ESSA, I have heard a national activist saying, you know, that between abortion and the Common Core, that the harder issue has become the Common Core. And I think it's because they know if they can change the minds of children, they will actually have the nation. And that is their goal, is overturning this nation to their ways. And I think one of the things that we can depend on is that in regard to Common Core, it doesn't matter that it will be a hard thing to get rid of. When the right time comes, I think he will be the man that, you know, we can count on to will always make the right decision when it comes before a vote. You know, right now we're going to have a vote supposedly in Alabama, right, March 2020. And, I mean, we worked so hard. Everybody worked so hard. Parents called and everything. And, you know, they heard from us. I mean, these legislators were saying, yes, our phones were ringing. We are tired of it. We are going to get rid of it. And then what do? The bill that we wanted to get rid of it, they're replaced with a bill that they say will get rid of it, but is really going to remove
the elected board and replace it with the appointed board so that Common Core will be cemented, even in the words of one of them. I remember reading the words from Bill Poole that it's up to the commission. They can keep Common Core or they can remove it. And this was from an Associated Press interview of Bill Poole, the one who I saw presented it. I think Del Marsh was not there at that time. His, I think, grandbaby was born. So Bill Poole was there. And anyway, but this is, you know, like Del Marsh's right-hand guy. So he knows what's going on. But yeah, we are being told, oh, this is going to get rid of Common Core. So when you have people, and then now, Ms. Barbara, we're seeing that all across the state, unfortunately, as people read that Bill Poole interview by the AP, a lot of these legislators feel like, you know, they have been done for, that they were lied to. And really, they should have that right finger that it was misrepresented to them, that they were lied to, Ms. Barbara. And but instead, I think they're angry almost at us because we're angry. So what do you think?
That's a mouthful.
I mean, you know, these legislators are angry because we're angry at them, but they instead they really should be looking at their leadership for having lied to them and given us a bait and switch. So, you know, it's hard to come to some of these legislators because it's almost like they have such a loyalty to the leadership, Ms. Barbara, that it doesn't matter about the people that voted for them, the parents
exactly.
and the grandparents.
And they have a loyalty to those financers of their campaigns. It's all about power. It's about ambition. It's about money. And it's not about doing what the people want. If it were about that, Common Core would have been removed a long time ago. It's not about that. It you know, and it as you said, bait and switch. That's what this constitutional amendment is. It's a bait and switch. They're saying that it's going to remove Common Core when it's not. It's going to cement it, as you said, cement it in. And we have people like running for Congress, second district, where Martha Roby represented us, saying that college and career standards are different from Common Core, not even recognizing that we still have Common Core. And that's someone who's running for the House of Representatives, U.S. Congress, and doesn't know, has no idea, I guess, because the information
was that Jeff Coleman
is false.
Was, I think
yeah,
that was Mr. Jeff Coleman wanted. That's really
absolutely.
Very disturbing. And I think this is where parents really have to get educated. And we do these podcasts sharing with them. And I know we have an app, too, HopeInc.tv. It's a website where they can find a link to our broadcast, to our podcast. And also there's an app there so that, you know, people all over the country really can listen to these podcasts. And I'm believing there's going to be a list, too, of other broadcasts. Todd Starnes is fixing to have his podcast. You know, we just really have got to remove our ears from listening to the NBC, CNNs of this world. And even sometimes Fox News, I'm a little worried about. So we really need to get information, I think, from trusted sources. And, you know, we've been fighting this forever. So trust us or not, folks, we're in for the long haul and we're in it for the children. And this is not for any gain. It's all about the children, which because we're answerable to God for these children. These children are our God-given responsibilities. And he says it's better to hang a millstone around our necks and be thrown to the deepest part of the sea than the little ones to sin. And we have allowed Planned Parenthood to come in our schools all over this country and exactly do just that, right, Ms. Barbara? They're leading the kids to respect sin.
Well, Planned Parenthood is the largest contributor to the sex ed curriculum for public schools, and they're teaching them to they're sexualizing our children in the public schools with that sex ed curriculum. They're destroying their innocence. They're sexualizing them. And, you know, children don't have any, and it is so inappropriate for them to even talk about sex when they're little children. And yet they're putting these images before them, pornographic images. What's the name of that book? It's Perfectly Normal, where you have pornography being put before the eyes of children, as if this is normal. This is evil. This is destroying children. And Planned Parenthood is the largest contributor of the sex ed for public education. And we know what their values are. They're the ones that are selling baby parts and killing, torturing children in the womb and selling baby parts. Just unconscionable acts.
And it's Barbara, and that is why, you know, when you look at Democrat Party and how they have made overtures to the point of even closing down the government for Planned Parenthood, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that something is very wrong these days with the Democrat Party, that evil is reigning, and the way they've handled themselves with this, really, this is undoing our United States Constitution with all these impeachment proceedings. I mean, it's like anybody that they do not like, they want to remove, and they want you to believe.
That's right. That's right.
You know.
That's right. There have been no high crimes or misdemeanors. There's been no impeachable offense committed, and they're making this up out of whole cloth. They're making it up, and it's evil. It's wrong.
Oh, it's very, very sad times that we live in, Ms. Barbara. But we are supposed to persevere, and God wants us to. And I guess in closing, Ms. Barbara, of course, we always love to pray. But I had been reading my Bible this morning, and he had me turn to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel 13 onto 15. But Ezekiel was talking about people that outside appeared to worship God, but on the inside they were not sincere. And, you know, we have heard Nancy Pelosi, you know, that she is a Christian. But then when you are, I'm thinking, wait a second, you are for the killing of the unborn. And when you look at the pictures of what they're doing to babies, Planned Parenthood really wants to kill babies right up to birth, after birth. I mean, they want the babies to live because as there's now an article about these hearings that they're having with Planned Parenthood, and these businesses are making money off of selling intact body parts, baby brains, and that it's better for that baby to be born and not killed in the womb, for these parts to be intact. And I'm thinking, do we not realize that God is looking at this, and that we're going to have to answer to an almighty God? There's almost no fear with the Democrat Party, and that should make people be very afraid when they yoke themselves with the Democrat Party. And I just think that that's just really a warning for us, Ms. Barbara. We can look like we're worshiping God, but God knows our hearts. And I think power has become such what they're most loyal to in the Democrat Party, that they would even destroy babies, innocent babies. So how can we believe them when they say they really care for us, right? And they're going to do great things for us, good things for us.
They are liars. They are liars. And the Bible says Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And they're just going along with his game plan. That's all. I mean, that's just the truth. So,
And each of us is responsible for our own. Right, Ms. Barbara? Each of us is responsible for our own choices of where we go, knowing the truth. And as you said, you know, these are liars.
It is.
So
it is
don't
totally.
Listen to liars. Don't listen to fake news. They're liars. So with that in mind,
that's
Ms. Barbara,
right.
Would you mind giving us some food for thought in closing and close us in prayer?
I'd like to. Thank you, Diana. Well, the Bible says that God is the God of hope. He is the God of all encouragement. And his ways are the best ways. He says for us to follow the old paths and stay within them and his paths. And that we're to trust in him with all of our hearts and not lean to our own understanding, but we're to acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will direct our paths. He tells us to repent for the evil, and we see in the Bible that men like Daniel, the great man Daniel, repented for his nation, and that we're to do that. We're to pray for our leaders. We're to repent for our nation. So let's do that right now. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us the privilege of repentance. And, Father, we pray for that gift of repentance all over our land, oh God, from the top down, all our leaders, Father, and our people, Lord. Your word says judgment begins in the house of God. Father, we pray for the gift of repentance for your people, oh God, in churches, Lord, to repent that we've allowed this evil to permeate our world, our country. And we have allowed this, Father. We haven't resisted evil as we should. We haven't submitted to you, oh God, as we should, and resisted evil as we should. So, Father, please, let your Holy Spirit blow over this land, Father, and a strong, strong wind, Father, the gift of repentance, that we would recognize our sin and forsake our sins and turn to you, O God, with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our lives. And, Father, that we would take the time to think upon you and upon your desires, what matters to you, Father. I pray that we will grow rich in things that matter to you, that we will grow in virtue and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Father, we pray for that great awakening and a great revival in our land and throughout the world, particularly, Father, in with our government leaders, because they make decisions that affect so many people. They affect us all, oh God. So we just thank you, Lord, for prayer, and Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit to be released throughout this land for your purpose, for your pleasure, and for your glory, Lord. Help us, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And as always, we are so grateful for this time together and to give everything to God, and we're so grateful for our guest, Judge Roy Moore, who's running for the U.S. Senate of Alabama. We are so grateful for that, Ms. Barbara, and we want the listeners to please tune in. We will have more podcasts, and we do not back down on the fact that we know that our help is God, and that's who we ask for help. And may you do the same, and may you find him true. And thank you for listening to City on the Hill Radio Show. Goodbye. Oh, and our website is hopeinc.tv. Go to there, and you'll see the link to the podcast. Thank you.